Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We have been discussing for the past few days the statement that has been posted on LDS.org, a statement titled Book of Mormon and DNA Studies. And what we're trying to get across here is that the Mormon Church seems to be making another course correction in how it wants its history and its scripture to be understood. And as we were talking about yesterday, we were looking at 2 Nephi chapter 1, verse 8 and following, that offered a promise that says, "And behold, it is wisdom that this land should be kept as yet from the knowledge of other nations, for behold, many nations would overrun the land, and there would be no place for an inheritance." And we were discussing the fact that the Book of Mormon, that is supposed to be written for the Lamanite, that you need to know who the Lamanite is. Otherwise, what's this talk about an inheritance? If you don't know who they are, then what's this inheritance? And how Mormon leaders of the past were saying that this passage, 2 Nephi, chapter 1, verses 8 and following, is supposed to be understood that God, in fact, kept America, or this Western Hemisphere where Lehi allegedly came to, kept this land hidden from other nations. George Q. Cannon, who was a member of the First Presidency, he espoused that idea. He said that between the time of the Tower of Babel and the time of Columbus, that nobody came to this Western Hemisphere. Now, that's just the opposite of Anthony Ivins, who was also a member of the First Presidency, who in April of 1929, in a general conference message no less, actually said that people did come to the Americas during that time, refuting what George Q. Cannon said years earlier. So the question now is, well, who do we believe? It's very convenient for the Mormon Church to find this statement by Anthony Ivins, but I think also when we put Anthony Ivins' statement against the statements of other Mormon leaders, it seems apparent that Anthony Ivins' conclusion becomes a minority view. Now, how do you explain that he says this in general conference, and yet you have Ezra Taft Benson, who says just the opposite in general conference?
At a much later general conference.
At a much later date, and if the law of abrogation is going to have any effect here, a Mormon would say, well, you take the later living prophet statement, and that overrides whatever was said earlier. Now, of course, Anthony Ivins was just a member of the First Presidency. He was not the prophet of the church. Ezra Taft Benson was. And I think we need to point something out. When Ezra Taft Benson says that for centuries the Lord kept America hidden in the hollow of his hand until the time was right to unveil her for her destiny in the last days, and then he quotes 2 Nephi 1:8, "It is wisdom that this land should be kept as yet from the knowledge of other nations," said Lehi, "for behold, many nations would overrun the land, and there would be no place for an inheritance." What does Benson say here? He says, in the Lord's due time, his spirit wrought upon Columbus. Notice how far away from that time period he goes. Clear up to Columbus, which is exactly what George Q. Cannon was talking about. And LeGrand Richards, being a Mormon apostle, he also said the same thing.
And if those guys don't come until the 15th century beyond, I mean, the Book of Mormon ends with the Nephites in the 5th century. We've got an issue there. There was no chance for the Nephites to have any drift, as we were talking about.
Genetic drift, and this is what they're counting on. But Ezra Taft Benson makes this comment in a general conference address that he gave in October of 1987. You can find it in the November Ensign, 1987, page 4. But it was also that same thought that was reprinted in the Church News on September 14, 1996, page 14, and also a year later in the Church News, July 19, 1997, on page 14. So we find this view that there was nobody here to greet Lehi being pretty much the predominant view And now the Mormon Church is saying, oh, that's not true. We're going to say that people were here. Now, it's not, folks, that there have not been any Mormon apologists who have tried to address 2 Nephi chapter 1. John Sorensen, who was an emeritus professor from BYU, he's an anthropologist, and he wrote a lot of articles, wrote a book on the Book of Mormon, defending the Book of Mormon as an actual historical document. He did try to address this. And what was the tack that he took?
He said that there were two groups, of course, the Lamanites and the Nephites. And he says, for the Lamanites, they dwindled in unbelief within a few years. So there you go with the Lamanites. As far as the Nephites, he goes on, and he says that early Nephites generally did the same thing within a few centuries. Well, the date of 2 Nephi 1 is the 6th century B.C., 570, I think, is what it is exactly. And so give it a few centuries, we're talking 200-300 BC, maybe somewhere in that vicinity. And if they last until the 5th century AD, you're talking about 7-8 centuries at the most. And so that would give plenty of time for this genetic drift to occur, that you would have a washing out of the Semitic gene pool.
Well, we need to explain, because there's some things missing in this whole argument. In this passage in 2 Nephi chapter 1, it's a promise. And basically, the promise says that they need to keep the commandments. It says, and they shall be kept from all other nations, that they may possess this land to themselves. And if it be that they shall keep his commandments, they shall be blessed upon the face of this land, and there shall be none to molest them, nor to take away the land of their inheritance, and they shall dwell safely forever. John Sorensen is taking the position that, well, when we read the Book of Mormon, it sounds like the Lamanites were pretty much like the ancient Jews in the Old Testament, pretty much big screw-ups. I mean, you read the Book of Judges and you see problems with Israel right after they come in and possess Canaan. They immediately turn their back on God. Well, we see the same kind of pattern in the Book of Mormon narrative. Well, not only the Lamanites, the dark-skinned Lamanites, but the light-skinned Nephites do the same thing. So Sorensen is arguing, well, because they turned their back and were not keeping the commandments, that the promise became null and void. And I'm sure a lot of Mormons see this as, that's our escape. We just say that the dark-skinned Lamanites and the light-skinned Nephites didn't do their part of the covenant, so God didn't keep his end of the bargain, and so all these nations came in, and they were intermarrying with these other nations, and hence we find the gene pool is diluted. This is where they get the idea of genetic drift, and therefore that is why we don't see any trace of this house of Israel when we look at the DNA.
And Sorensen went on in his article and he said, archaeology, linguistics, and related areas of study have established beyond doubt that a variety of peoples inhabited virtually every place of the Western Hemisphere a long time ago. Now, he wrote this article back in 1998. It took the church over 15 years before they actually came out to say, you know what, John Sorensen, we agree with you. We think that's a great theory. And this is the article that was now posted on the LDS.org site, Book of Mormon and DNA Studies, which, as we've said over these past few days, Bill, and I think you've made the point very well, that this disagrees with earlier leaders who used 2 Nephi 1 verse 8 to support the idea that 2 Nephi 1 was fulfilled for America.
Here's what you have. Here, thank God for BYU professors. Who needs a Mormon prophet anymore when you got BYU professors setting everybody straight? I mean, come on. Who cares what George Q. Cannon said? Who cares what LeGrand Richards says? Who cares what Ezra Taft Benson said, the 13th president of the church? We've got BYU professors to help us out.
Let me add to that. Who cares what the church news says from the 1990s?
Really? But here's the problem. If you as a Latter-day Saint are really going to tell me as an outsider that you have men that are being told by God to tell you certain things, then you need to explain to me why your leaders were so adamant in this one position that somehow Lehi, when he arrives here in the Western Hemisphere, he meets nobody, and that they were kept by themselves. Wouldn't you agree that what Sorensen is basically saying is an argument for silence? Because we don't read anywhere in the Book of Mormon where it talks about any non-Semitic races coming into the picture,
right,
that would intermarry with the Lamanites or the Nephites. that would eventually dilute that gene pool that would point to a Semitic heritage. It's an argument from silence. There's nowhere in the Book of Mormon that really gives us that impression. You have to read into it, that idea, in order to make it work. Well, I can understand why the Mormon Church is going to latch on to a statement from Anthony Ivins, who insists that between the time of the Tower of Babel and the time of Columbus, that people did arrive to this Western Hemisphere. They need that. They can't have it both ways, folks. And that's exactly what the Mormon Church wants. They want to have the Book of Mormon be the most correct book on earth, but yet it says something that certainly sounds questionable here. You have to read into it to come up with this new idea that they think gets them off of this DNA hook. But then you have to ask yourself, well, what about all the leaders who went to this very Book of Mormon for guidance, interpreted the Book of Mormon for the membership, and came up with a conclusion that is just the opposite of what the Mormon Church is telling us today?
I find this one statement in this article that was produced by the church, Book of Mormon and DNA Studies. They say this: finding and clearly identifying their DNA today, referring to the DNA of the Book of Mormon peoples, may be asking more of the science of population genetics than it is capable of providing. And so in that statement, Bill, they're basically washing their hands and saying, you know what, you can do all the DNA you want and do all your studying, and you may not find any Semitic blood in the ancient Americans, and that doesn't hinder the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon.
We might also mention that Simon Southerton has a blog article on this very issue, and he gets it in kind of the nitty-gritty of this. If you're interested in going a little bit deeper on this and looking at the DNA aspect of it, it's simonsoutherton.blogspot.com.au, and the title of the article is Response to President Newsroom, HTML. That's response-to-president-newsroom. But if you also type in this title, Mormons Believe Native Americans Have Jewish Ancestors, that will take you to the article as well. It's curious to look at what Simon Southerton has to say on this, because he certainly does not agree with what the Mormons are trying to get away with today. And he also remarks about 2 Nephi chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 and so forth. So anyway, we hope that that enlightens you to what the Mormon Church is trying to do with this subject.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org. Looking for a book on Mormonism? When you're in the Salt Lake City area, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is the place to go. Here, you'll find the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including Answering Mormons' Questions, written by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. In addition, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple in Salt Lake City.